Encourage you to turn in your Bibles, the Pew Bibles, to Gospel of John chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 30 through 47. And this follows up on the previous section where Jesus had made certain claims. And the people understood that when Jesus called God Father, that he was claiming something very special. His critics began to attack him. And in doing this, Jesus defends himself here by citing the testimonies that are true about him. So we want to take a look at this morning and see what God's Word has for us. Let's read through this passage first, though. Please follow along. John chapter 5, beginning at verse 30. And this is Jesus speaking throughout this entire section. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard. His form you have never seen. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? When Jesus said in verse 44, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another, for you do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Seeking the glory that comes from the only God. He is referring there to his own glory. He is the glory that has come from God. We're going to take a look at this. First, though, I want us to take a look at roadblocks that are there to our faith and the faith of others, and the need for a testimony. So Jesus is offering testimony here. Now, these various roadblocks don't fit everybody. You might identify with one or a few of them, and they come in varying degrees. For some people, they're huge roadblocks, and for others, perhaps only small things. But one of these is that we are people who are easily distracted, and we have a temporary joy. We're just always moving on to something else. One of my favorite hymns is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And in that, one verse is, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. We're prone to wander. You know, it's part of our human condition. We just kind of move from one thing that excites us to another. And I don't know if it's true that in our generation that maybe it's heightened because we have everything instantaneous. We're not satisfied for things that take us a long time to wait for them. So we get distracted by something else. So we have that actually is a roadblock to faith, because faith is something that takes a focus, a mindset, and a heart set. And if we're off onto something else, not looking to Jesus, then we are blocked from him. In verse 37, Jesus says, "The Father who sent me has borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen." Not having actually heard God or seen God or even touched God is a roadblock to faith for many people. I mean, who doesn't yearn for that, right? Who wouldn't want Jesus to be sitting right here or standing here in my place teaching you, or just here where you could hear his words, see him, touch him? You know, the disciple Thomas, after Jesus was resurrected, didn't believe because he hadn't touched Jesus yet. Not having that is a roadblock. And Jesus understands that. Then in verses 40 and 43, Jesus says that you refuse to come to me. And in verse 43, if another one comes, you'll receive him, but you don't receive Jesus. We're not coming to Jesus, which is because we don't understand him. And that was the problem with the people here that Jesus was talking to. They didn't understand who he was. If they really understood who he was, their ears would have been burning. They would have been listening. They would have been receiving him. We're going to talk more next week about understanding Jesus. He continues to talk to people and does things for them to understand who he is. So not understanding who Jesus is itself a roadblock to having faith in him. And part of that problem is we have preconceived ideas about Jesus, or for them, who the Messiah was going to be. But we have preconceived ideas, and a lot of times we're reading through Scripture, and we want to force our ideas of who Jesus is on Scripture. And I have known people who, and some even pastors, who when they come to a place where it doesn't fit their preconceived idea, they just either gloss over it, throw it out. I mean, it's not there for them. When we really look at Scripture and we let Jesus reveal who he is, and we don't try to dictate who we think he should be, then it works out much better. We can place our trust in him. But when we're a little bit like the people at the time of Jesus, because human nature hasn't changed, and we have our preconceived notions of who Jesus should be, it's a roadblock. We're simply not going to get to the real Jesus that way. In verse 42, Jesus says that, talking to people there, you don't have the love of God within you. That's a roadblock. When we don't have the love of God, we're not seeking to love God. Then our whole mindset about faith just isn't there. It's non-existent. It's just something that's irrelevant for us. So it's a roadblock. And then in verses 43 and 44, where he says they haven't received him, he says, if another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you don't seek Jesus? You don't seek the glory of God. Nothing's changed. We still seek the glory of one another. You know, I've mentioned many times just the number of award shows on TV, and they were advertising. I get them mixed up. Is it the Grammys? Is that what's coming up? You know, I mean, there's so many award, and the award shows seem to multiply. You know, it's like having rabbits, raising rabbits. They just keep growing and growing. And it's essentially, and this sounds like a horrible judgment, and but it's an industry that wants to pat itself on the back. But we can't be smug about that because we do the same thing. Sometimes in just small ways. We all want affirmation. And with the advent of the internet and with Facebook that's out there, not for everybody, but for a lot of people, Facebook is, look at me. Look what I'm doing now. Take another selfie. Look at me. It used to be when people went on vacation, you took pictures of maybe the family. You know, I was always one behind the camera, always pictures of everybody else, and the scenery of where you were. Now pictures are like this, and you know, you're the one that's looming large in everything. You know, you travel to Europe, and you just get a bazillion pictures of yourself. Where's Europe? You know, nothing's changed in that human nature. We desire to give glory to one another or to ourselves, and that is a roadblock to seeing the glory of Jesus Christ. And then we see that in verse 39 and also verse 38, 39, and then down in 45 through 47, he talks about Scripture. And Jesus says, you know, you're looking for eternal life in Scripture because it's God's Word. And Jesus is affirming that. You're looking in the right place. You're just not seeing it right. And Jesus says, it's all about me, referring to himself. It's about Jesus. And even understanding then more specifically Moses, which was the law. See, that was their identity, is God gave the law to his people. And they governed themselves by that. That was God's special revealed word. And so all of that law was about Jesus as well. And Jesus says, look, God's word isn't abiding in you because you're missing the point. You're looking at that and seeing something completely different. And when we come to Scripture and we look at it and we're not seeing what God would have us see, it's a roadblock. So we have these different roadblocks to faith, and Jesus is saying, okay, look, everything is pointing to him. And he says, if I just simply seek my own glory, and I'm the only person saying this, it's not going to be valid. And the reason for that is God's word said that for legal cases, especially in the case of murder, but it could be other things as well, theft, two witnesses or three at least. You have to have two, at least two. And it's affirmed in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, even in Jesus says it. In the context of talking about the disciples making judgments about things is where Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst. That's important for God's people to understand, these witnesses bearing witness to the truth. So Jesus is going to give them the testimony of other witnesses. In verse 32, he then says, there is another who bears witness about me. So it kind of piques our curiosity. He says, there is another. Well, who is this other? But he doesn't go directly there. He then kind of points to what the hearers view as an authority. And so it goes to John. It's John the Baptist. It says, you sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. So he starts off just with some common ground. Okay, let's go with the testimony of someone you chose, John the Baptist. He pointed to me, Jesus said. And then Jesus says, not that the testimony that I receive is from man. See, Jesus is saying it's an important testimony, but it's not the ultimate testimony. It's not the ultimate authority. It by itself isn't going to prove anything. So we begin here, then John is a testimony. Then he says, the testimony that I have, in verse 36, is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me, it's tied into the Father. Now we're beginning to see who the another is that he mentioned earlier, that the very works themselves bear witness. So first of all, identifying they come from the Father, and then just simply saying, look, these works that I'm doing, and they weren't these easy things that you and I could do. We're talking about miracles here. That's why Jesus was being attacked. He just healed somebody on the Sabbath. Who heals people? God. These very works are a testimony. These works that come from the Father. But then he goes more specifically in verse 37, and the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. The Father himself. There is no greater authority, no greater testimony than God the Father. And Jesus says, he has borne witness. He says, you guys haven't heard his voice, you haven't seen his form, because you don't have God's word abiding in you. But he has borne witness. You know, we can think of a couple of times where Jesus is there. One is at baptism, comes up out of the water, and the voice thunders from heaven. This is my son, my beloved. And then when Jesus was transfigured on the mount, again, this is my son. Listen to him. So we have the testimony of the Father. But Scripture is another one. All of Scripture, where he says, okay, you look to the Scriptures because you think that in them is eternal life. And Jesus would say, yes, you're right on target, but you missed something important, right? It's all about him. So that's the other testimony, is Scripture. Scripture is there to point to that. And then again, coming back to Moses and the law, revealed specifically to them. They wanted to appeal to Moses. Whenever something would come up, appeal to Moses. And Jesus says, Moses, he was talking about me. So we have these testimonies then. John and Moses, who they looked at as being authorities. Jesus, miracles that came from the Father, and the Father himself bearing witness. They bear witness to the glory of Jesus because he is God. That's why they were attacking him, because he made himself equal with God. So let's take a look just a little bit about Jesus' glory and the gracious purposes that he has for us. Because in the midst of his call to follow him, and we know that that calling is sometimes very, very hard, Jesus always gives incentives. He gives these very great and precious promises. They're here for us. They're to motivate us. And so he does that here. We begin with the whole thing of salvation, of being restored into a right relationship with God. Verse 34, he just says, in looking at testimony of John, says not that his testimony is what seals it, but I say these things, I'll even point to John, so that you may be saved. See, there's the heart of Jesus. So that you may be saved. I will stoop down to your level. I will show you the things that are true, beginning with common ground with where you're at, so that you'll be saved. Restored relationship with God for eternity. And that's where verse 39 comes in, that you may have eternal life. And then verse 40, that you may have life It's what Jesus was all about, giving life. Because without him, we are dead in our sins. So we have these promises for salvation, for eternal life, that come from Jesus. And then as he talked about John, where he said that, verse 35, you sent to John and he has borne witness to the truth. And verse 35, he was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. See, he was this burning and shining lamp of the glory of God as a prophet, and they saw that. He brought truth, and they were willing to rejoice for a while in that light. For a while, because John was put to death. For a while, because John could be put to death. His life was short, it was temporal. But what Jesus offers is an endless rejoicing because Jesus is eternal. So they were willing to rejoice for a while in him, but Jesus is holding out an eternity of joy. We can't miss that in Scripture. Again and again, it will talk about joy. Psalm 19 that Joyce read talked about joy in creation. It's running its course through the sky. Joy is a major theme, and God desires for us, part of our eternal life, our salvation, is joy in God forever. It's not going to be boring. And we're not going to get distracted. But so this eternal joy. And then in verse 38, where he says that they don't have God's abiding word in them. When we come to Jesus, put our faith in him, we do have God's abiding word within us, God's truth, which guides us, which gives us encouragement and hope, which even provides correction when we're going wrong. How do we know if we're going wrong? We look at God's word. And it provides training for us as God calls us to serve those around us. So one of the great promises of God is that his word will abide in us. Not just that we can learn it up here, it abides within our souls. And then in verse 42, where Jesus says to them, you don't have the word of God within you. So when we have faith in Jesus, we're trusting in him, we're seeing his glory, then the promise is that God's love is within us. And that is something that deserves our contemplation throughout our entire life, throughout eternity. God's love. The infinite God, the all-powerful God who created the universe, that infinite love is offered to us, and it comes through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying here that when we see his glory, we receive him, that we have God's infinite, powerful love within us. Great promise. And then in verse 45, where he says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. We've already looked at that. They're putting their hope in the wrong place. Moses was talking about Jesus, so should have been looking at where Moses was pointing, not at Moses himself. So when we see Jesus' glory, we put our faith in him, we have hope. Hope for today in the midst of all of life's troubles. Hope for tomorrow, because hope is faith that points forward. And that means assurance. We're looking at his assurance here. The Jews looked to Moses for the assurance, and to Abraham also, for the assurance We have Abraham. We have Moses. And Jesus says, look, they're just pointing to me. You have to receive Jesus, faith in him daily. And when we do, there's this assurance, a hope. Because God's glory is what is eternal. And Jesus calls us to embrace his glory, to seek his glory every day. And in that we find salvation. We find God's word abiding within us, God's love filling us, and God's love within us. And we find the assurance of hope. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, help us to see you more clear each day in Scripture. Help us to receive you in greater ways and to overcome whatever roadblocks we might have in our own lives so that we would experience you and know the depth of your love. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.